Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 81 of the Xbox War Gamers podcast. This week, I'm joined by Cameron.
Hello.
And Keo.
Hey, hey.
This week, we're going to talk some video games. What a big fucking surprise that is. But mostly, I really want to talk about this Redfall report that just came out today. There's some really interesting, there's some tea being spilled, as it were.
That was an interesting read.
Yeah, I was worried we weren't going to have enough to talk about this week, but thanks, Jason Schreier, you hit the nail on the head. But as always, we do the show live on Twitch. You can come say hi. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to see us. Come hang out in the chat, ask questions, shitpost, usual stuff. We don't have any questions this week, I don't believe.
Logic Dad, Isaac, where are you?
He's taking a week off. It's fine. You know, he works hard in the question mines for us.
Yeah. I swear, if I go listen to the latest episode of the Xbox cast and I hear a question, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Yeah, exactly. But you could be like David in the chat here, talking about sausages, and Mr. Mad Rokitansky, our good friend, who's come to say hi, which is nice. Missed him. Hope you're doing, mate.
Most gorgeous person in the Discord.
Yes, best looking person on Discord. Yeah, that's 100% true. There's a question in here from Piani Sunshine. Why do you not get good at games? This is a very good question. Unfortunately, I don't think we have enough time to cover that this week, but we'll put that one in the backlog because I feel like that's a whole philosophical thing that we need to get into.
Good is subjective.
Yeah. It takes a very long time to get good at one game.
Mm-hmm. I see three fine gentlemen on this podcast that all in all engaged or married or are getting married soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I place all our blame on our partners.
Yeah, that's fair. I can understand that. Yeah, sure. Like if I was even less social than I am now, I would be better at video games. This is true.
I put my Switch upstairs for an excuse to go up early to bed. And be like, all right, well, you know, I'll have something to do in bed if I'm not tired, whatever, because I haven't been sleeping lately. Oh, man. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not even making it to the Switch.
For a bunch of fake gamer guys on this podcast, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
But I guess we could probably get into what we've been playing then. Speaking of us being bad at video games, Cameron, do you want to go first?
So you're saying that the wreck is the perfect description to how I play video games?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or the kind of shit that you recommend. Yeah.
Okay, so wow, that's just amazing.
To be fair, it does actually sound pretty good, but I am curious to hear.
All right, straight off the bat, I'm just gonna say I finished Floppy Nights off from last week. Those puzzle challenges are probably the best part of the game, but they wildly overextend the game.
Yep.
100% essentially, agree. Saying that the challenge mode, like I just used the video guide at the same time for some of the levels.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And some of them just mimic the exact same cards that you dealt, so they're like very easy to follow through.
Yeah.
So the two other games that I've really played this week was Hoa, which is the Games of Gold for the end of last month, which when Charlotte was on the podcast, she went through like in detail like how beautiful this game was.
Mm-hmm.
Very Studio Ghibli kind of art style.
Mm.
Very short, like an hour and a half, maybe.
Oh, really? Hours. Okay, I didn't realize it was that short. Okay.
Yeah, So the one good thing with Games of Gold the last 2 months are there have been games that haven't been in Game Pass.
Yeah.
And games that are like incredibly short. So I did Star Wars Racer.
Yep.
Which you can use the cheat menu, which is I think like 30 minutes to an hour. Hoa's a quick 1 to 2 hour. There is a Zero G achievement, which is for not getting hit by the robots. You can redo the last level.
I know there's the one Charlotte had trouble with because it was really glitchy when the game first came out and there was some bullshit around it.
The last level's really interesting because essentially each part of the game, like you go through and then you unlock your double jump, you unlock like moving cubes, that kind of stuff. When you get to the last level in the game, it takes every single mechanic and like flips it on its head. So there might be you might be going like upside down and your controls are reversed and it just gets really confusing. Like you're falling off, platforming, that kind of stuff. Really interesting, but it does get to the point that the last section of it, you trying to jump at angles against the robots without getting hit, it's a little bit finicky.
Right.
I got on my third try. It's not that bad, but I can understand players that might have issues with like that kind of control. Might not be able to get that zero G achievement, but it was really nice. I was really surprised. Welsh has got a pretty good guide for it, other than the zero G achievement. But it's very easy just to, go through and like it's just optimizing your path essentially,
Sure.
following a guide. The other one I wanted to talk about, which is The Wreck, is a visual novel about a French woman that goes to visit her mother in hospital. And then as she has discussions with her sister, she keeps on replaying the same scene with the car accident. But each time you go to the car accident, it adds on a little bit of information. And it has those kind of, I'm trying to think of the best comparison for it, but like it's essentially Life is Strange as a visual novel.
Remember Me would probably, it sounds a
Yeah,
bit like
Remember
I was
Me
thinking of
probably would
Remember
be.
Me.
Yeah, right. But the mementos, you basically go in, they trigger your memories. And then how it works is you're essentially left or right triggering to rewind or fast forward through these memories to press words, trigger dialogue choices, and then go on further from that. I used, is it Kinef guides? Yeah. So I used that. That was pretty straightforward, just as a text guide. I went in this, like, I'm just like, oh, cool, it's a visual novel. I don't know how long this is. I went in relatively blind, saw the guide, 4 to 5 hours. All right, cool. I'll knock it down in a night. Man, you know how, like, Life is Strange, Chapter 3, like,
Yeah,
I
there's
look.
it covers heavy stuff.
Yeah, it covers very heavy topics like self-harm, death. I don't want to spoil anything.
Sure.
Some stuff does happen relatively on, but it's all like the game basically is like conversations with different people about like significant trauma in your life. And I will say there is a child that dies, and that kind of shit gets to me,
Yeah.
as you
Yeah,
would
okay.
imagine. So yeah, I won't, like, obviously about the car accident, all that. It does have like one of those strange kind of endings where it like leaves it up to, like, there's three different choices, so it's really up to interpretation.
Sure.
Which I kind of got to the end and I'm kind of like, I really wish you had just like closed it off
Sure.
when you're dealing with a lot of psychological stuff and a lot of self-harm and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was a really interesting game. It was one of those games that I got to the halfway point and I'm just like, I need to one night this now. I need to find out what happens. I can't recommend it. Like, it's $30 Australian. I can't recommend it at the price because for a visual novel, it's just way too much.
Yeah, it is quite a bit.
The only reason I picked this up was they put a post in on Reddit in game dev, essentially being like, all right, we wanted to make a game we would want to play that was important to us, and it didn't work out. People aren't buying it, except like it came off very like, what was me?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, all right, cool, I want to play this and see where you came from. It's very artsy.
Yeah,
It's
right.
I would honestly think this would be the kind of game that Annapurna would
Sure, I was going to
publish.
say this sounds like an Annapurna Game Pass game.
But yeah.
All right.
And then the only other one I've started playing, sorry, I started playing two others yesterday. Sorry, I played one yesterday, which is Vernal Edge, which is a 2D side scroller Metroidvania. I'm doing it the first time through on Vicious Mode, which is the only difficulty related achievement of the game. It took me like 2 hours to get past the first mini boss.
Okay, right. It's one of those
I'm
games.
kind of like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it through this. It's just, I've gotten to the point now where the Metroidvania aspect is more so annoying me than the,
Sure.
like there's no clear path. The mechanic's pretty good though. Like the combat is like fluid. Feels very like it feels fun to play, but it's just the enemies have an insane amount of HP, and then you get hit 3 times, then you're dead.
Right.
Essentially, I'm vicious. And then the other one is Xbox Cast is doing their back to your backlog at the moment. So I messaged all three hosts today, being like, "All right, cool. Pick something out of my backlog that I wouldn't immediately think of, and yeah, I'll do it." So Kyle and Lee are obviously playing Diablo 4, so I didn't get a message from them.
Yeah, no, and you won't for at least another 80 hours.
Yep. But Simone got back to me with the wonderful suggestion of Monkey Pirates.
Oh my God. Okay.
Can you remember Monkey Pirates?
Vaguely, yeah.
I don't even know anything about that game,
So,
so.
Monkey Pirates is a game that didn't release in Australia. It must have been back in the stage where I was like region hopping to buy indies overseas. Essentially, what it is a couch co-op kind of like party game essentially. So 1 to 4 players, you have little monkey pirate ships that can shoot cannons and that. You have different game types, and you have a challenge mode. Went through today, got the challenges done pretty easily. Like it's like that kind of like second miss it kind of challenge mode the first few times. But yeah, managed to get it all done in an hour. Now it's essentially just playing the game passively by loading up a level, letting the timer run out, getting a point, and then getting 50 wins in each of the game modes. Like I could see this being a fun couch co-op game. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna look up the studio and see what else they made. And yeah, this was the only time. But I can't imagine as such, but I was like, oh, it'd be really interesting to see if they've made like more Switch party games. And yeah, no. Not the kind of thing. But yeah, that's me for the week.
Not too bad. Kira, what about you?
It's been another light on week for me, especially on Xbox. When I've jumped on, I've pretty much just been doing some more Trials of the Blood Dragon. I'm down to one. I've got all A grade in each level, and all I need to do is one more. It's the final level at A plus range, and then that'll be done, and I could just go back and clean up the last couple of things with that. So nice and easy. But holy crap, some of those, like this one level in particular is level 25, is just one of the Japanese levels is just ridiculous. So it looks really, really nice when you're playing. If you're watching somebody play it, the levels look really good, but just playing the levels, it's just not fun.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, it's so that's been a bit of a slog for me. But one thing else I started today actually, which I hadn't brought up anywhere, was that I saw some friends playing Halo Wars 2. So I'm like, oh, it's the start of the month and there's a monthly, so I need to get in and do like the once a week kind of thing to get the weekly and daily stuff knocked out. So I went in and did the dailies, and the new dailies are active now, so I can jump in and do some more and try to get that. I don't know when the week rolls over for the first week, but you have to do all 7 in a week. So I think it's Saturday or something, maybe, for their week.
It's
But
funny that
yeah.
you bring up Halo Wars 2 because me and Matt are going through the stage of like, all right, so we're assigning a little bit of time on Mondays to finish off like co-op or
Oh,
the
okay.
multiplayer based achievements. So we got Guitar Hero 3's big pile of wins done, and Halo Wars 2 is next week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I mean, I will be playing it if you need an extra body for some other mode that you haven't got an achievement for or whatever. So,
It's only 2-player,
I think
isn't
it's on 2 player for the co-op
it?
campaign at
Yeah,
least,
for the co-op campaign, yeah. I'm at this stage where like one of my weeklies was do 6 team blitz levels and you need 4 people or whatever. So I can't get the weekly this week if I don't have people in 2 day the next 2 days to get that knocked out. So I'll have to leave it, but at least I got one of the weeklies today, so that'll not knock me over for
Nice.
the weekly monthly challenge. But other than that, I'm just teeing some stuff up. Uni's finishing up this week, next week, so I'll be stacking some games. I downloaded Hitman 3,
Oh,
the
yeah.
World of Assassination now, and that's one of the games that I wanted to do this year because I've actually not played a Hitman game right through properly at all. So,
Three is, I mean, obviously, I would say three is fantastic. Obviously, it has one and two's content in there as well. So it's kind of cheating, but.
So without going through the bullshit of trying to get the old games and stack them and stuff, I'll just play the definitive version with all the content and have fun with that. But yeah, so other than that, yeah, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, that and a few other things like the Resident Evil games and stuff I'm looking at too. So,
Right. Very nice. And then in terms of what I've been playing, so like Cameron said, we did some Guitar Hero 3, so we smashed that out. Took quite a bit, but we got there, which is good. There's one less online achievement for me to worry about.
Just one of those achievements that's just like, is it done yet? Is it
Yeah,
done
it just
yet?
goes for
And then we
forever.
get to like the early afternoon, and it's like it finally popped.
Yeah.
I'll see you
Yep.
next week.
Do it to like 5 hours. Yeah, and so we were looking at Halo Wars, so I've installed Halo Wars 2. I think we only have like four missions left. We're gonna do two the two spear something or other
So
missions.
I got six achievements left, and you've got 10.
Okay, yeah.
Because I've basically got three achievements for Awakening the Nightmare, two from Spearbreaker, and one for the base game, which is just doing a co-op on Legendary. Because
Gotcha.
somebody, Aphthos, left me behind.
Oh, I know this story. No, he did not
This is
leave
the whole
you
reason we ended up
behind.
doing the
He
campaign.
just,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, 100% left me behind. I don't
I'll
know
support him. I'll support him.
what
So,
you're talking about. I mean, he finished it, so you know.
yeah, exactly. He's done.
Yeah, so I think we've got like two levels left in the Nightmare campaign. So I'm not. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think we need to get gold medals on them or anything. We just need to do them on Legendary. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to getting back into it, but I feel like there's going to be a bit of a learning curve because it's been a long time.
Oh man, Awakening in the Nightmare was like hard when I did it in Christmas last year.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm not looking forward to.
So as to what I have actually been playing, so I talked a little bit last week about Soul Hackers 2, and how I was kind of like on my second playthrough. Yep, so I finished that today. Man, okay. I'm going to caveat this by saying I know what I did is wrong. But in all fairness, it is their fault. So one of the achievements is in the same way the Persona games are, it's you need to basically summon each of the demons. And each of them are sort of level gated. So what you have to do is basically get your main summoner up to a certain level before you get allowed to summon them. So it essentially means you need to get your main character up to like level 95 out of 99, which is a huge amount of grinding. I got to the end of the second playthrough and I was about like in the high 60s, 68 or something along those lines, maybe 67. And I was like, okay, great. There aren't any like end game areas that have high level enemies. Like you get enemies that go up to about level 63 or so in the final dungeons. So it just means that you can fight certain types of enemies that do scale, but there are like rare enemies that show up.
Righty. Yep.
It's not great. And they know it. And the thing is, like, they were like, well, we can sell you this DLC dungeon that goes up to level 99 where it has like a super boss at the end of it, and you can go grind in there if you want. Or even more scummy, they're like, hey, we have this thing that essentially allows you to, every time you do a battle, we'll give you a thing that levels you up by one level, and also gives you like extra money, and also you can level up your demons. It's going to cost you like $5. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, that is a huge time saver, though,
I
isn't
well
it?
like yeah like I did the math and I was like, I'd be here probably for the like at least for another like 4 or 5 hours doing this, and I was like, I'll pay them the $7 New Zealand or whatever. But it's a real scummy because they obviously made the game with that in mind, right? They were like, we're going to make the grind at the end of the game so ridiculously slow that people are going to feel like they have to buy this thing. So I wasn't super thrilled about that, but I was like, I've got other shit to play. And the game had worn out its welcome about three times over by this point.
Yeah. That's some meta soul hacking right there.
Are we talking about Ubisoft here?
No, we're not, but we basically should be. Like they very much were like, hey, get this booster. I'm like, oh my God, this is, and obviously I don't want to support that bullshit, but I did have like $50 in like Xbox credit from rewards, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna use it here because
time is the most valuable commodity growing up. So
exactly right. And I was like, fuck it, you know, like I want to get this game done. It's been sitting here for too long, and I'm not really getting any more enjoyment out of it. One playthrough was more than enough. And also I talked about the last couple weeks, I have problems with that game. I think it's like it's probably like a 6 or 7 out of 10. Like anyway. So that's another JRPG done off the list. In terms of those keeping score at home for Game Pass, I believe I only really have like two left. Ni no Kuni 2 and Chained Echoes.
Chained Echoes is going to be a long one.
Yes, I've heard. We'll see.
Gorgeous, though.
So I've started Ni no Kuni. So I've started Ni no Kuni 2. I've put like an hour and a half into it. I've got like one achievement. So I've like just basically dived it. So I'm going to probably put some time into that as my next sort of project game. I also finished up the Resident Evil Village DLC that I was talking about last week. I still got my ass kicked quite a bit at the beginning. Allison thought it was very funny. Sitting there next to me while I just got completely fucking destroyed by these mold monsters. It does get like, it's not a super long DLC. Like my actual like in-game playtime was like 2.5 hours to finish it on the highest difficulty and getting all the achievements. But obviously I died a bunch of times and they had to reset. So it's probably closer to 3 or 4 hours. The biggest issue really is the early game where you have a pistol and very little ammo and not a lot to work with.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you kind of get to like, you know, once you get a shotgun and you kind of get some equipment and you kind of get a feel for things and a couple of abilities, it becomes a lot smoother, still quite difficult. And there's kind of some different, a couple of places, but overall pretty good. Like I liked it. And also the having the DLC characters, Lady D and Heisenberg made the mercenaries mode 100 times easier. I only struggled on one level out of the 8. And I just completely demolished all the other ones in like almost first try for all of them. So that was really good. Happy to get that done. Good one to get off the tag. It's been sitting there for a while. So, happy about that. Now, I've been debating going back and trying to do 7, but the DLC for that is pretty rough.
I'm actually really keen to keep going with the Resident Evil games with 7 and 8 because I've got both of them. I never played it. And like I said last week that I started the VR one, which I did a stream for a couple of days ago. And I really like the way that they do the puzzles in that, where you kind of have you're going around with Ethan, and then you've got the video recordings. You go into the VHS, you play that, but you see something in the level that you know that you're going to have to go get, but they don't tell you that you have to go back and get it. You're like, oh, I have to go find that now. So it's really, really nice.
Yeah,
so,
like I really enjoyed 7 when I played it. The DLC is really the only part that I'm kind of like not have like I really struggle with. And like to be fair, there's a lot of DLC for 7. Some of it good, some of it not so good. I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe like 5 or 6 achievements left to go for it. And like I should go back to it and just do it, but I know that it will be like pulling my hair out. But I really enjoyed both 7 and 8. I've been considering picking up 4 as well. Obviously, people are saying Game of the Year contender, so I probably will try and play it before the end of the year.
Man, I keep forgetting that came out this year as well.
Yeah, well, it's
there's so many good games that are coming out this year.
It's a good, and that actually transitions nicely into what's probably my Game of the Year contender at the moment, is Jedi Survivor. So I picked that up this week and I finished it today. I rinsed it. I've been up till 3 a.m. playing it. I've been just like super laser focused on it. Having said that, I have only been able to play the story while Allison's been here because she didn't want me to ruin it. So I didn't get through I probably would have got through it a little bit quicker, but you know.
This is why we're not good at games.
Yeah, that's true. That's gotta be it, right? It's a fantastic game. It does have some little technical hitches and that kind of stuff. I had to run it on performance mode. If you don't run it on performance mode, it ran like absolute shit. So I would say that. I'm more interested in frame rate than anything else, so that's fine for me. They have patched it quite a bit. It did crash for me a couple of times at a couple of bugs. It wasn't like unplayable by any means, but it was it was a little jankier than I was hoping.
It sucks because I kind of feel like how it was at launch is gonna hold it back from being game of the year.
I would agree.
Only because there's so many other games of like Dead Space has been amazing, Resident Evil 4 has been amazing. Obviously you got like Tears of the Kingdom's gonna get it.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah.
Thank you, David. Yeah, it's, I mean, okay. I like Fallen Order was probably like, I think it was close to my game of the year. I think it was in my top three for that year. It's been a while. But I mean, they've essentially done it again for the most part. It is more of the same. It is essentially the Gears of War 2 to Gears of War 1 in terms of like, hey, we took this thing and we added some stuff and we made it bigger and we made it like more bombastic and like wider and stuff, but we kept pretty much all the core things the same. The only thing with that is that like some of the problems that I kind of wish they'd ironed out, they just kind of kept.
Yeah, that was a big problem, wasn't it? So,
Yeah, and like it's fine for the most part, you know. I didn't have any problem. I mean, I was playing through on like easy and just kind of just because I was just there for the I'm there for the story. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, and also this game has the best achievement names this year. I don't care what anyone says; they're fucking great. There's one for throwing someone into a laser beam, you get an achievement called "This is canon." And then there's one where you put on, because again, there's a lot of customizability. You can put on like a headband and you fight a you can like fight a training dummy, and if you hit it, you get an achievement called Cobra Cal. It's just like it's all just memes. There's one for like riding creatures for a certain period of time, and it just says this is not pod racing. It's like it's just memes on memes on memes. There's so many of them.
And slowly.
Yeah, exactly. Han Solo is a great example. There's one called like "Look at Me Now," for if you change up all your customization options. Like they have the best achievement names this year. I
Never
gotta
saw it
say,
coming.
yeah, there's so many good ones. They also have a lot of memes in game as well. There is a I don't I can't spoil it, but there are some really funny things that they kind of don't like. They kind of take quasi seriously and don't really point the joke out. But like, if you understand, you're like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
If you're a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, but even then, like, if you played the first game in particular, there's a lot of references to the first game, obviously. Story wise, I think it's good. It's a little bit meandering. There, it, they. I'm trying to think about like again, like I'm going to compare it a lot to the first game because that's kind of the thing it's closest to. So again, they do the really cool thing of like you know the classic thing of Metroidvania where it's like you play like Metroid Prime 1 and then you get into the second game and they take all your abilities away from you and you're like, oh no, this game's like no, you're fucking you're still a Jedi. It's been 5 years. You can still like do your flips. You can still pull guys, push guys, throw your lightsaber. You can use two lightsabers. You can use double-ended lightsaber. And then there's two extra new forms in there that I don't want to spoil for people. I mean, you've probably seen them if you've seen previews, but the fifth style is the one that I used exclusively just about. It was so cool. And yeah, it's more of the same. The story is a kind of it is a little bit of like feels like a retreading the first game a little bit. So you have one main planet that you're on. And then you like go to the moon of that planet for like a sort of like base level. There's a you go to another planet that's kind of like a smaller area. It's like medium size. So it's, you have like a main planet, a medium planet, and then a couple of like smaller planets in between, like that are like 1 to 2 hour long, kind of like mostly corridors, relatively linear with a little bit of side stuff. I mean, like in terms of content and like expanse and just like space-wise, it's probably still bigger than Fallen Order, but Fallen Order had maybe a little bit more variety in it. And like I don't know if it just comes down to the fact that there's no snow level in this game and there was in the first game, and I kind of feel like I'm missing something. I feel like there should have been like maybe just one more planet, probably would have evened it out a little bit. Story-wise, it's a lot of like, hey, I've discovered this thing. I need to get the gang back together because it's been 5 years. Your crew is split up, and you basically got to go. Okay, well, I need to get the gang back together because I've got a crazy thing that I want to do, and I need their help. And so it's you kind of going to these planets and like seeing where what's happened in the last 5 years. Also having like there's some flashback stuff around like what maybe made them split up in the first place. I was kind of hoping for a little bit more of that, but I kind of feel like they leave it to open to interpretation. I don't know if that's like, oh, they've got a book that they want to put out about that bit, or they want to do more DLC or something, or if they just left it open on purpose. But I was kind of like, guys, like I get that you like we want to do the time jump, but like I need a bit more like to figure out what the fuck happened.
Nah, they want to do
Anyway,
a TV show.
or some shit. Yeah, I mean, like it is just mocapped, right? So they can bring the actors in to just
I
do
mean,
shit.
Disney could easily do a TV show.
Sure, like I could definitely see that. But I had a great time working with this. Like it was really like, they got the quality of life stuff down for the most part. But I feel like some of the new stuff doesn't really add a lot. Like the riding creatures, there's only really like two creatures that you like ride in the game, and they don't really add much to the game. The areas are definitely bigger. Like the main planet has like six or seven different biomes that you go in. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger in that kind of Elden Ring way. But a lot of it is just kind of empty space without all that kind of interesting stuff. There are a lot of like side stuff and a lot of things to discover. There's a lot of collectibles, but most of them are like useful. Either they give you like some story stuff or they give you like an actual material benefit. You don't have to collect them all to get all the achievements. There's only like one type of collectible you have to get all 100 of, and you'll get most of those just playing through. And you can find these. There are like in-game trackers for like you can unlock stuff by finding like map upgrades that show you where stuff is. So like they're relatively good on the quality of life stuff. And then they added, of course, a fast travel, which is the best thing they could have done, because the biggest problem with the first game was the backtracking. So like the fact that they made the worlds bigger but also easier to get around is really, really good.
So
My only
David brings up a really good point of the in the chat. How many handlebar mustaches and mullet hairdos did you unlock?
I got like so many. I got the mullet because there's achievement for the mullet one called Roadhouse for putting on the mullet. And then with one of the forms, when you do like a running attack, you do like a jump kick, you know, 2 foot jump kick. It's great. I got so many great hairstyles and stuff.
Just one designer's job to do that, like the entire development.
I will spoil a little bit of like a side. It's not a story thing. It's a side questy thing. But if you played the first game, there is an area that you go into, like you go to get a collectible, and then like the floor drops out and you fall into a pit and you have to fight a boss. And the boss is named after something in the first game. And when you beat him, you get the poncho from the first game in pink, which is just it's like
Yes.
obviously like they're just taking the piss the whole time. And there's like again heaps of jokes about that kind of stuff. There's a poncho joke in there. Like again, it's great for Star Wars people. You obviously need to really play the first one to really appreciate it. It story-wise didn't really take off. Like the first act is like, hey, meeting everyone again, and the second act is kind of like, okay, we've discovered that we need to find these MacGuffins. Go and search for these three MacGuffins. It's very similar to the first game, and then the third act is where shit fucking happens. And I was like, I got to the end of the second act, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're kind of just ramping down towards the end of the game now. This is kind of going to be like the big hurrah. There might be some sort of thing, and then I was like, oh no, we're not done. We are not done. Okay, good. Because the third act is fucking fantastic. I know I'm talking a lot about this game, but it is really like this is up there in terms of the stuff I played this year.
This might be a weird question, but how does it feel as a Respawn game?
I was actually talking about this with Allison because there's a part again, they do the really nice thing. Again, it's more of the same with the first game, but they've just kind of made it better. Like there are shortcuts everywhere in terms of like you get to an area and they're like, hey, shortcut back. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that platforming puzzle again. Like, well, you got a zip line, you've got a teleport, you've got a lift. And on the moon, basically it's one big corridor for the most part. And so when you get to the end of it, it's like, okay, hey, we need to get back to the ship. Okay, cool. You have a grappling hook, you got a dash, and you got like all this other shit. Like, hey, you're gonna wall run, you're gonna jump, you're gonna like it's so Titanfall. Like it was really Titanfall of just like zip, zap, jump, jump, double jump, and just like kind of for just you know, just that really beautiful frenetic movement that just feels so good. And you just cross the map in like 30 seconds.
How was the
Man.
pacing for the first two acts then, if everything ramped up at the end?
That was again, that's kind of my problem is that like it kind of felt a bit meandering in the first pace. I was kind of like, I kind of like, I don't really have the first act ends on like, oh, this is really interesting. Cool. Like this is the setup. They're like, okay, cool. You find something well, okay. I'll just, again, the clue is in the title that's been in the preview. There's the back to tank with the person in it. And that's all in the preview shots. Like you find that person and then that kicks off the second act of like, okay, cool. We now to go need to go hunt for these things. And so the game sort of harkens back to the High Republic, which is the Republic that fell in Star Wars, kind of like their golden age, which was about 200 years ago. And so it's like, it talks a lot about that stuff, which is the stuff that like Disney is doing a lot of content for at the moment. Like a lot of their shows and stuff are going to be focused in that area, looking at their books. Yeah. So they're trying to tie it together a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're like finding like 200-year-old relics and all that kind of stuff, and like finding old Jedi temples and things like that. And so like, it's kind of like tracing trying to trace the journeys of like Jedi before you to kind of just discover stuff. And it's like interesting, but it's also like, because it doesn't actually really matter, because you're like looking at the past, it kind of, yeah, like it doesn't really come to fruition until like right at the end of the second act, where it's like, you know, you have the big bad and the face off and all that kind of stuff. David asks about the difficulty. Yeah, like I think the difficulty is really, really good. It's relatively adjustable. I mean, I was playing on like easy, so I was like, I was just ripping my way through it and real no issues at all. Because I'm there for a fun time, not a hard time. But yeah, like I think that like it this exactly the same as the first one. It's like, hey, you've got like parry timing, you've got how much damage you do, how much damage the enemies do. Like there's quite a bit of accessibility stuff in there, which is quite nice. Yeah, so David, it's not KOTOR, because KOTOR is the old Republic, which is like 10,000 years in the past. This is like High Republic, which is the Republic that you see in like the prequels, and it's like before its big decline into, you know, everyone dying and the Empire.
No, he's just testing your knowledge now. He's making you nerd out on the Star Wars.
I can talk about Star Wars for a long fucking time. let me put it this way. I finished watching Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian Season 3. I started this game up, and then when I'm going to the gym, I'm listening to the Thrawn audiobook. I'm fucking Star Wars in right now.
He's Disney's key demographic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. My only other real issue with the game is the combat, unfortunately. It's it's not just because I was playing on easy, right? Like I did try it on other difficulties, but it doesn't have quite as much like weight to it. Like, you know, like the first game was like a Sekiro light kind of thing. It's more of that, where it's like, again, it's more about parrying and timing, but
yeah,
a lot of the enemies like have the real shitty thing of like, if they're doing a charge attack and you move out of the way, they will turn their attack to hit you. So it kind of feels like it, you know, it's not, it doesn't, it feels like it's missing something. It feels like a little bit too floaty. And of course, there's the problem of like, hey, you're wielding a lightsaber, you should be cutting through shit in like one hit.
Yeah.
And like a lot droid, of, yeah.
A lot of the reviews like commented on like the lightsabers. Like, it's like, how do you balance that with game design though?
Exactly. Yeah. You basically have to make it like Bushido Blade, like one hit kill everything and that kind of stuff. And it doesn't really work. Mm. So like, I get it. It's a real hard issue. Playing on story does make you feel like an absolute fucking badass though, because you can like one shot a lot of stuff and just be like, bam, zap.
They just need the Metal Gear Revengeance, that shit.
Yeah, they kind of do. Like something, I feel like it could be like a lot tighter. You know, in the same way that it's like the part of the reason Sekiro works so well is because like the combat system is the system, right? There isn't a huge amount in terms of like traversal and all the other stuff. There is a little bit, but like this game is a mix. It's like half platformer, half combat. And I think like for the most part, it works. Like I never had an issue with it. But it just kind of felt like I was like, okay, like it could have like really, I was hoping for a bit more like, you know, a bit more gravitas, a bit, you know, anyway. It's a great game though. I'm like, it's like a nine, like an 8.5 or a nine for me. Yeah. Like it has those minor issues, a little bit of quality of life stuff that could have been improved, a little bit of technical, a little bit of fighting stuff, and story is kind of like, story's good, but not amazing. But everything else around it is just like, I had an amazing time playing it and I just could not put it down.
It is really good to hear like a positive take on it though.
Yeah.
So, cause there's so much negative stuff in the air on it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And like they have ironed out a lot of the technical issues, and I'm not going to forgive them for having those at launch, right? Like that's not the kind of thing I want to support. Mm. And that's why I waited a little bit to play it. But I didn't really have any technical issues for the most part. I did have a couple of crashes, which were unfortunate, but yeah, otherwise it was pretty solid. David asked in chat, what's the highest difficulty you need to get the achievements? You can play the whole game on story, just like the first game. So they don't gate any of that stuff. They want you to go through and have the experience at the level that you want to do it at. If you want to, you know, want to master Jedi it, I mean, good fucking luck. But And some of the fights are really good. Like they get the cinematic stuff down really fucking good, especially towards the end of the game where the fights really ramp up. I really want to do a spoiler cast at some stage with some Star Wars people about this. So we'll see who's around in the community. But anyway, I've rambled on for way too fucking long about this.
I was about to say like, oh yeah, I'll do it because it's a respawn game, and then you said Star Wars people, I'm like,
I
no,
mean,
I'm
like, I
out.
also want, like, again, you play through Fallen Order though, right?
I've played through half of Fallen Order. I need to get it done.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd love to talk more. I mean, we'll probably talk more about it towards the end of the year for Game of the Year stuff anyway. But this is like top of my list at the moment.
Yeah, Respawn is one of my favorite studios though, just because of like Titanfall was a game changer for me in terms of what I thought an FPS could do. But yeah, I need to get around to Survivor and actually finishing off Fallen Order then. Maybe that's what I do for back from my backlog.
Yeah, good.
And then the only other thing is I was trying to, because I finished those games today, I was trying to think of something new to play. I started Sherlock Holmes Chapter One, which is by Frogwares. Again, the Sherlock
Okay.
Holmes devs, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's Frogwares, right?
They have used the Sinking City engine. So if you played Sinking City, they've basically taken that engine and built another city with a small city with it. It's open world. So you kind of have to, like, it's unusual. Like, again, like in the same way that Sinking City wasn't, like you solve cases, but you still have to walk your ass to the place where the crime happens. Unlike the other games where it was like, you just do crime, 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 crime.
Sorry,
This is,
Sherlock Holmes does crime, 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 crime,
I
crime.
mean, he does basically, yes. I mean, technically, yes. He is a criminal. So yeah, like I've only done like, I'm on like the second case. So like I've put maybe a couple hours into it so far. I'm enjoying it so far. It's a little janky in the same way that Sinking City was. It shares almost the exact same DNA. Some of the quality of life stuff is not amazing. Like it's like so far it's like a 7 out of 10. It's fine. I just kind of wanted, like, I wanted something to play that was kind of relatively light while I think about what's next.
I mean, those kind of games, like, they must be successful. There's been how many of them?
I was actually looking, I nearly have the series completion.
Are they all from Frogwares?
Yes, they
Okay.
developed all of them. So
Yep.
they have
I played the Devil's Daughter, I think.
yeah, Devil's, so De I've got the Redux for that as well. I need to do.
Except versus Jack the Ripper. I just
Oh, did
thought
they
of
not
that.
do that one?
Apparently, spiders did that.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, so I've
Oh,
done Jack the Ripper, I've done Testament of Sherlock Holmes, done Crime and Punishment, Devil's Daughter, and this one, I think, is all of them. And then
yeah. And
there's
then
one other.
there's
There's the
the
Awakening,
Awakened that.
which I just came out a couple, like last month, which is there again using the, it's like a remake of like an old Cthulhu one that they did like 10 years ago or something, 20 years ago. So I definitely want to try that at some stage. But anyway, yep, that's me.
I've started Crimes and Punishment. I remember it being
It was
quite
good. I
good.
mean, I thought it was pretty good
Yeah.
for the most part. Yeah.
Need to get back to him. Like I don't know why it's popping up. What's the game called that Ubisoft did? That's like
Which
similar.
one?
It kind of feels like a Sherlock Holmes novel. It's The Deceased Detective.
Oh, yeah, Murdered Sole Suspect. Yeah, that's
Oh,
it.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Need something like that again.
Yeah, I
That
like
was
those
good.
kinds of games. I like solving a mystery. It's fun.
Cool.
Do you want to talk about Game Pass stuff? Speaking of
All right. Yeah, let's go for the Game Pass stuff. So we had actually we go for Games of Gold first.
Yep.
So Adios and the Veil Shadow of the Crown got added sorry. Adios got added June, and then the Veil is coming out June 16th. I gotta say, these last 2 months with Game Pass have been pretty good for achievement hunters.
Yeah.
I mean, Adios is a cool game. Like, it's a really interesting, like, indie game that more people need to play. Was on my
It's like
list for a
1 hour,
long
yeah.
time. Yeah, well, it's like, again, like, it is a, you can speed through it if you really want to, but, like, put the extra hour in. Just listen to the dialogue. It is actually a really cool game.
I remember hearing the original premise about that, and I was like, okay, that actually sounds pretty damn cool. And I think the Veil is like 5 or 6 hours, but I think like lately game like Achievement Hunters are winning for games of gold. This kind of
Yeah,
stuff. It's
there's been some good stuff here.
games that aren't like Game Pass games. In terms of Game Pass editions, Chicory, The Colorful Tale got added, which I'm definitely going to check out. Far World Pioneers got added, which Kingsman
I was talking to Lee before and Kingman jumped in. He said it was actually a 32-player sandbox.
Oh,
It only has 10 achievements, so I might check out Far World Pioneers as well.
okay, interesting.
It might be one of those things that we might be able to get quite a few people in Discord just to jump in at the same time. And I'm not sure how difficult the achievements are. Let me have a quick look. Eight people have got it done so far.
Okay, so it's not
Must
impossible.
kill
Yeah,
an
that's not
ally.
bad.
Oops, achievement. Attain more than 5,000 space bucks. Play for 121 minutes on the same file. So you got to play at least 2 hours.
Right.
And land on another planet. Yeah, doesn't seem too bad. What else we got? June 1st, which is already passed, we have Card Mechanic Simulator 2021, Slayer's X Terminal Aftermath: Vengeance of the Slayer, which I hear is pretty good. And the Big Con, I will warn, the Big Con does have 1,402 gamer score.
Which is criminal. Apparently, they are look. There was some talk about them putting out some more content for it to
Yeah.
even it out, but
It's a good game. I gotta say, I played it around launch and I thought it was pretty cool. Amnesia the Bunker and Hypnospace Outlaw on June 6th. So Hypnospace Outlaw's re-coming back.
coming back. Yep, which makes sense because Slayer X is the same people.
Both published by No More Robots. June 8th, we have Rune Factory 4 Special and Stacking, which is another one of the Double Fine. What else is there from Double Fine to hit Game Pass now?
Well, because I know that they were talking, I mean, Brutal Legend would be the obvious one, right? I think that would make a lot of sense.
I'm trying to think what else
Or
that they've
Headlander.
made. Headlander, yeah. Headlander was in Game
It
Pass, right?
was, it's been removed, but it would make sense. It was before the Double Fine acquisition, though, so.
So, Massive Chalice came back recently. Costume Quest is still in, right?
Yep, should be. Both of them should be. Grim Fandango's in there, Full Throttle. Like, again, I played most of these.
The Cave, which was a 360 title.
Ooh, the Cave would be good. Cave's been
That's not
delisted, though.
backwards. Yeah.
I think it might be backwards compatible, but I
It
think it's been
might
delisted.
be.
It is, yeah, because
Yeah.
I did it. I really enjoyed the Cave. That was a very weird and interesting game.
Sesame Street wants to pump a monster. There's
Yeah,
apparently
okay,
a
there
Double
is.
Fine game.
Yes, that is
All
true.
right. Yeah, I can't think of any other. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what actually like finishes off the. Maybe Double Fine surprise us next week and we just get like a double A game
I
dropped
mean,
into
maybe
Game Pass
it would
again.
make a lot of sense. They do it like, hey, do another Psychonauts, or they do like a, yeah, exactly, or something. Or they, I mean, hell, if they do a Psychonauts remake, that would be.
Oh, man.
They did hint
Oh.
at it when the second one got made, because they have the engine, they have the assets, they have the characters, they got the voices, like. And if
That's
anything needs a
kind
remake,
of
it's
up
that.
there like a Banjo-Kazooie remake to me.
Yeah, well, like if anything needs a remake, unfortunately, it's Psychonauts. I love that original game. It controls like absolute shit. It is a really hard to play. And if they can balance out the fucking meat circus at the end of the game, I might actually finish it.
Yes.
But yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do. June, well, Psychonauts 2 was last year. Yeah, they haven't announced what they've been working on for the last year, right?
2 years, I think. 2 years ago, right?
2 years ago, jeez.
I think so anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, 2021. Yeah.
Yep, cool. Oh, yeah, wouldn't. Okay, that makes sense. Yep. Yeah. I'm gonna butcher this. Dordogne, then?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything about this game, to be honest, other
Yeah,
than it's
neither.
getting published by Focus. So that's June 13th. And then the following titles will be Game Pass on June 15th. Bridge Constructor Portal, Chorus, which I picked up today for $10. Thanks, EB. Maneater, which I would definitely recommend out of the games that are there. You'll just have to buy the DLC. Mortal Shell, Serious Sam 4, and Total War Three Kingdoms. You do Serious Sam 4 as well. I just.
Easy. Serious Sam 4 is like, it's got a stack, so you can do both versions of it. It's really simple. It has an unlimited ammo mode, and you can play it on the easiest difficulty. You can just storm your way through that
Control.
game. It is so simple.
That's good to know. I might actually look at that this week.
If you just do the console version. Maneater is a recommendation.
Managed is really good. I mean, well, Managed is pretty good. I feel like the DLC is not great, but
Yeah.
whatever.
The DLC was unnecessary,
Yeah.
in my opinion. Bridge Constructor Portal, how long is that?
It's not super long. There aren't like a huge amount of levels. You do have to buy some in-game levels. Like, there, you can only buy the DLC in-game, which is kind of scummy, but whatever. The only problem is that it's a physics game, so it's like you can follow a video guide and try and build it as close as it can, but sometimes it just doesn't fucking work. And so, like, I did not have a great time playing that game, to be honest. It definitely overstayed its welcome. It was like twice as long as it needs to be, but it is a very simple game, quote unquote. And then, like David said, like Chorus is fantastic. I loved Chorus.
That's why I picked it up. I'm just like, oh, it's like everywhere I've seen at the moment, just dropped it to $10.
That's a perfect price for that game.
I left my Game Pass lapse for June 1st because I'm kind of like, I'll wait a little while, I'll wait for a few games to come out, and then I'll go back. There's nothing really like interesting me that I need to have the subscription for at the moment.
Except for that last achievement in Naraka Blade Point, leaving Game Pass.
Yeah, so Todd in the chat just put in some extra stuff that apparently is leaving.
Oh, man!
apparently
it's all over.
Among Us, Cricket 22, Generation Zero, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, The Hunter, Call of the Wild, the Windows version, and Naraka Blade Point.
Oh, that's rough. Among Us won't take too long. Cricket 22, I'm not touching with my bat. Generation Zero, I've already done. Did you end up doing Shredder's Revenge?
I'm going to do Shredder's Revenge, actually. I could definitely use some help with that. Get some people.
Definitely recommend it. It's one of those games, though, that it's just the grind at the end.
Yeah,
it's just like the leveling. Just put it on a podcast. Put on
other
games.
Yeah. I might make that my next game then, just because it makes sense. I really wanted to do Mortal Shell, but I just don't think I'm going to have the time.
I've seen sales enough for it. You'll be able to pick it up cheap enough.
Yeah, it also has that like roguelike DLC mode, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, Naraka, I really want to get done, but man,
is it not free to play?
Well, I mean, there was the story mode that apparently was supposed to be the paid part of it, so it probably is just free to play with the perks that you couldn't get. Because I know the story was locked behind Game Pass, I'm pretty sure.
So standard edition is $29.95.
Oh, okay.
The only I've got four achievements to go: melee weapon to 25, range weapon to 25, and then the 20 heroic tales and the chosen one cultivation. Which those two top ones will be easy. It's the getting the melee and the range weapon to 25. That's just a joke.
Yeah, right.
It's a nice game to play, though. It's really good.
It's a good game. If this was something that was free to play, Man, I'm just like, do I wait long enough for it to just be free to play, or do I just try and grind it on the next month?
If you got time, you can work on it a little bit at least, right?
I don't have time.
No, you don't, exactly. Yeah. In that case, I think it answers it for you.
Damn it.
I think I'm going to do Shredder's Revenge. If anyone wants to give me a hand, I know you can do some cheese with the like hard mode final boss thing.
It's six player. You can do the cheese where you join somebody who's already like,
Yeah,
and just stay out of the way.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely recommend the community jump on Shredder's Revenge out of those ones. I really love Generation Zero, but I'm like, it's up there. Like, you can get it done.
Yeah. But that game goes on sale quite a bit too, though. So I think that I might, again, I had the same thought because it is in my backlog of like, because I know that you and Alex played it a lot.
It's just one of those games that you just shoot your friend for a rocket launcher, they get blast across the map, and you laugh because it's so stupid.
Yeah, right.
But actually, it has a pretty decent story too. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just get six of these together. Just
easy. Play random. Yeah, six people all at the same time across the world sounds great.
Easy.
all right. Well, I think that's kind of it there. Let's quickly go through some news then. What do we got?
All right, so let's start off with, I'm pretty sure this came out just after the podcast last week or just as we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
So new Xbox rules changes look to target easy game score titles. Microsoft has made significant changes to Xbox achievement rules and what it is to be an attempt to stop extremely quick completions and easy game score titles from flooding the Xbox store. Essentially, what they've done is they made changes to Xbox requirement XR-055, which relates to achievements in game score, and its test fail examples with the following line added to the XR's definition. All achievements represent a thorough exploration of or engagement with game content. Essentially, what that means is you'll fail this requirement if you have achievements that can be unlocked within the first few minutes of starting a game. achievements that do not represent a thorough exploration or engagement with game content. And then achievements can be unlocked without any or minimal user input unless required as part of the core gameplay loop. Which I essentially I would mean I would assume they mean like dev menus and that, which I still think it, like I
Yeah,
still will,
okay.
I still think we'll have some slip through the cracks.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
sure. I again like because the question of is like, oh, hey, it's great that they've added this because I feel like all of us agree that kind of the way Gamerscore has gone, it's not been great for the last few years. But are they going to enforce this at all is the other question.
Well, we'll find out how many games come out with unlock an achievement for pressing the start button, and we'll know.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Easiest achievement ever. That was the they
Oh,
got.
now it's on my tag. I've got to finish the game. Damn
Yep.
it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Simpsons game.
Simpsons game,
Yep.
Deadpool, what else? Those are the first two that come to mind.
Yeah.
I'm interested to the extent that they monitor this. Like, I think Ratalaka kind of is the line in my mind of what should be the easiest kind of baby game there is. Like, I think like a 1 hour completion is like, you know, that's fine
Is
depending on what the
it?
game
I mean,
depending on what the game content.
well,
Sure.
engagement with the story, if it's a 1 hour game, it's a 1 hour game.
Yeah, if the game is short, the game is short, but having a thing where it's like, oh, you play the first level and you get all the achievements is kind of like, okay.
Yeah, if it's something like that, I'm obviously against it. If it's a case
Yeah.
of say it's like 10 levels and they got like level 1 to 10 achievements and it takes like an hour, I'm okay with that kind of stuff. As long as you're like doing a fair portion of the game.
Sure.
If it's a visual novel, visual novels are a gray area
Because
because
you
they
could skip
have
it all and
the
just get to the end. But I mean, if you, but technically you finish the story if you do that. So I don't know.
So that's another one. I think like the Zidalon, and that's the stuff that it's like very
Yeah.
easy just to knock back and say like, yeah, Rotolaka is a little bit safer. Animal Labs and that kind of stuff. No hope.
That's really taking the piss.
Yeah. But yeah, thoughts, comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could only be good. There definitely needs to be some more rigor around it. I mean, I'm not the one to say where the line should be. That's up to Microsoft, but I'm glad that they're at least looking into it. Whether they do anything about it or not, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's a typical quality control thing that, like, it is something that they kind of need. I mean, their focus could be in a couple of different areas instead of like the dashboard every time, every week there's a new dashboard update, all that kind of stuff. You know, they could actually tackle what's part of that and fix the achievements overall, but and build on that. But maybe this is the stepping stones, because there was rumbling about, you know, them starting to nail down some of the achievement stuff. So maybe this is just a start. So, and I'm happy with that. So.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, talking about the other end of the spectrum. Oh boy. So TA put out an article about a new solitaire game with a absolutely brutal achievement list called Age of Solitaire Build Civilization. Now this game is a grind.
Is it
Yeah.
really?
Not only do you need to play 100,000 games for the 1,000, you also need to win 10,000 games in a row.
There is a community request for us to stream the game to completion.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Ragnarsson's all over that, so yeah.
While I appreciate the enthusiasm, get fucked. I'm not doing it.
We'll take your donations for $1 for every solitaire game that I'm doing.
Win in 50 seconds and then requires 10,000 hours of playtime. These have got to be placeholders, right? They can't be. This can't be real. Like, come on.
I don't know.
It's just like,
You
so,
know
like, the
what
one
I
of the top
imagine is going
comments
to
is that,
happen?
like, that is 417 days worth of playing.
Yeah, you know what? Because they don't think about these. It's just developers that don't think about these kind of achievements. They're just like,
Is
yeah,
that?
that sounds doable.
Is that playing or winning? Is it 417 days of winning?
Playing, I guess. So you could just
Ten
leave it for a
thousand
year and a
hours
half.
playtime, yeah. Oh, it gets worse every time I look at it. I can't imagine, like, actually, it's going to be the case of it wasn't Friday the 13th. What was the other game that they all published it? What they all developed it?
Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing where the achievement list gets announced, the community just goes like pitchforks, like this is way too much. And they're like, oh yeah, they were placeholder achievements.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Doubt, doubt, press X to doubt.
I'm not playing it. That's simple as that.
I mean, like Microsoft Solitaire Collection, that's
Was bad
the,
enough.
no,
Yeah.
that's the upper end.
I've
Yes.
started every version of Microsoft Solitaire and
Yeah.
I've not finished it before they've delisted or moved on and made a new list.
Well, oh
So,
God, yeah. I'm sure everybody's asking Matt here to be the one to do the Age of Solitaire completion.
No,
You
I
can
had
get
enough.
another first.
No, I'm not doing it. Never again. Never. I'm never falling for that trap again.
Oh, but Solitaire is such a great game.
No, it's Xbox exclusive,
You know what?
apparently. So
You know what sucks too? This is the kind of game that I would buy if it had a decent achievement list.
sure.
I love Solitaire.
One is the loneliest number. All right,
yes.
what else we got?
Yeah, so, all right, you go into the Redfall.
Yeah, okay.
You're gonna have fun with this.
So Redfall. People have been playing it a little bit. People have been panning it. Keo said that it wasn't as bad as everyone said. Firehawk also said something similar. We just had a report come out today from Jason Schreier.
That Jason Schreider said that Keogh and Shane lied to us, yeah?
Yeah. That he was like, this is the worst game that's ever been
Yes.
made, and everyone else is a paid shill.
Personal friend.
Actually,
Long-term contact.
the other day when I was going on Twitter, the aged Paulie tweets
Yeah.
account had a Angry Joe show,
Yeah.
Redfall worst game of
Worst game of the year, and then Gauntlet came out like 2 weeks
the
later. Exactly. Yeah.
year.
It's amazing.
So apparently, the talk is, and again, this is again like we're taking we're not I'm not gonna take this as gospel, but this is what's being reported. Was that Arkane apparently when they got acquired by Microsoft, hoping that it would get they would cancel or reboot Redfall entirely, basically when they came in. Unfortunately for them, Microsoft were like, hey, we're hands off. We'll give you some money, we'll give you some structure, but you guys build the games. And so essentially what this boils down to, and I'll summarize it, but basically the article says that about 70% of the developers who made Prey, their previous title, which is a fantastic fucking game that did not sell nearly enough, left during Redfall's development. So the people who there's only 30% of the original developers there who actually made this game. And the reason they made this game was apparently because they were told that they were pitched it. It was pitched as a multiplayer arcane game, which again, that was it. They were just some executive went multiplayer live service, and ZeniMax was like, hey, you need to make this broadly appealing. We need to have some microtransactions. We need to make this a live service game. They needed this to be their cash cow. And the thinking is that this happened because they knew they were going to get acquired, or they were looking to get acquired. So they wanted to have something on the books that was like, hey, a real money maker that could push that number up, as if the $7.5 billion they made wasn't enough.
Kind of
But
makes me
basically,
think that was 7.5 billion enough compared to Activision Blizzard.
well, I mean, to be fair, that's a different level though. Activision Blizzard
Yeah,
is
I
fucking
know.
insane.
I still value like the Bethesda acquisition as cheap.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like by comparison, maybe, but it was interesting because there was also some talk around the fact that ZeniMax had been trying to push Bethesda and the or studios in general in this direction for a little while, and that's how we ended up with Fallout 76 and with was it Youngblood?
The Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, yes, Wolfenstein Youngblood, yeah, right. Where it was like very like microtransactiony or like very like games as a service style kind of games online, and also you know quite importantly completely panned by critics, so much so that when was the last time you heard anyone talk about Youngblood?
So it was interesting too. Like when I saw Jason Schreier tweet out about that too, some people comments. There was two common things through the thread. There was the Oh, but didn't they develop Deathloop, not realizing that it's a completely different
Different
studio,
studio,
first one.
yep.
And then the second one was, how many studios have you seen go from like single player experiences to games as a service and done it successfully?
None, basically.
There's none. You think of like the examples listed were like Anthem.
I was gonna say BioWare to Anthem, yeah, like did not
Yeah.
go well.
Like there's a list of five different games, the and one in the process at the moment.
Yeah,
Like
I
as
don't.
if
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, they just need to have a core basis that they can fall back onto when they're not live service anymore. And it's just not done well.
I mean, like, there was that sort of state of play for Sony the other week, right, that we talked about. And, like, Sony are looking to have like 10 live services set up in the next 5 years or whatever.
And
And
that
that's why they
marathon's going
acquired
to be one of
Bungie.
them. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it's basically going to be Rainbow Six Extraction.
Yeah,
So,
right. So it's like that's gonna be a marathon, right? And it's like, and like there seems to be a lot of that. Like I think Helldivers, I think, is turning into that as well. It's obviously that's the big cash cow at the moment, right? It's not Dota clones anymore, it's not battle royales, it's live service games. And I always find out, like, I hate being a fucking hipster about it, but all of this stuff, I'm like, I don't have any interest in any of those kinds of games. Like every time the new Zeitgeist comes out, I'm like, this is the worst shit in the world. Why would I play any of this?
It's why I like indies so much, because it's just like indies cater to what they want to make.
Yeah,
Like,
and
why would
that.
I go out and play a games as a service that I know is going to get like DLC every 3 months, and I'm going to be like constantly playing the same game for the next 3 years of my life?
Yeah, and that's the other thing is that, like, I feel like there isn't infinite time for people to be playing these live service games, right? If you play Destiny, you play Destiny and maybe like one other game, right? If you play it like real
Yeah,
hardcore.
that's what happened. I spent a whole year playing Destiny, and in between it, I was doing Call of Duty Zombies.
Yeah,
And that's
right.
all I was doing. So.
And so like them being like, okay, Ubisoft has some live service games, and EA has a live service game, and Microsoft has one, and Sony has one, and like, the fuck are you gonna do? Like,
I guess.
You know what? I gotta say though, those Destiny people are great, because now that I'm jumping back into it, they're the people that know how to carry me.
I mean, sure, yeah, like Destiny is the prime example of a fantastic games as a service for the most part, and even then it has problems.
Promise PvE for four. Like even like I was Overwatch, for example, I was like really interested to see going for like the PvP, like the single events, because I really enjoy those timed events that they do. But then them axing that kind of mode and just concentrating on games as a service, essentially.
Doesn't make them enough money. Like, why would they put money into it? You know, like
That's
it's
exact. I can understand the point at the same time, but I'd much rather play a single player Overwatch game than a the
100%.
same, yeah, kind of content over and over.
Yeah, I totally agree. But yeah, I feel really bad for Arcane. Now, how much of this is actually like damage control, and how much of this is true, and like how much, again, like how much of this is like opinions, because obviously this is being reported as one side of it, but like I can't see a good way of spinning the fact that they lost 70% of their developers when they decided they were going to pivot to a game because their publisher told them that they wanted to make more money and make their games more exploitative and take the good stuff out of Arcane. I mean, like Dishonored is one of my favorite games ever made. It's so good.
Why don't you complete it?
Get fucked. I have done all the story content for that
Sorry,
game
sorry, sorry.
twice
My inner
over.
valor came out then.
That's fair. That is fair, though. Do need to go back to those Dunmore trials.
Because you just know Valak's gonna listen to this, and he's gonna be
He's not going
like,
to listen to this.
he's gonna tell you to do Death of the Outsider though,
I mean,
like he does every 6 months.
that's not too bad.
I personal opinion from both of you. Do you see this as a Arcane problem, or do you see this as a Xbox problem? Because I know during the launch window for Redfall, a lot of this was like preface, like Xbox is dishing out these lackluster games and all that.
I mean,
And
I think
yeah.
realistically this is a ZeniMax problem,
True. Yeah.
because
Yes.
right, like I think this is a ZeniMax problem, as we can see from this with their recent output and all that kind of stuff, right? It like from like a practical perspective, It is an Xbox problem, though, at the end of the day, right? They own these companies. It is their, they have the exclusivities. They're the ones doing the marketing. It's their names on the fucking box. Like,
The problem with the game industry at the moment, as like the Moonzone was just pointing out, it's an industry problem. There's a systemic issue where big companies are disregarding the fact that they have humans making video games, and they're wasting years of their lives, and they're just not getting that back. And it's live service stuff that'll disappear, and you'll never get to see it again. And basically, the legacy of what those people have created is gone. They've got nothing to show because they can't show anybody because it's disappeared. It's delisted.
well,
There's nothing left.
that's an issue.
So.
You heard about the Activision Blizzard sending cease and desist letters to what was it? It was a platform on Steam that was essentially running all the old Call of Duty games like securely.
Oh, no, I didn't know
Be
about that.
because the server the
Yes.
servers are essentially gone to shit, yeah?
Yeah,
They're
right.
unsafe, like in terms of security. So I can't remember what company it was, and Activision Blizzard said, yeah, just shut it down.
Yeah, doesn't surprise
Yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And there was a, I was watching, like I watch Linus Tech Tips quite a bit, and I watch the WAN Show podcast. He was having a discussion like, what point in time do these live service games just become community projects? Like, can the community take them over and keep them running? Or does it become this gray area of like, who's actually managing it?
Yeah, well, if you want Halo 3 achievements.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
David points out in chat, like, yeah, if Microsoft's are going to take credit for great exclusives and they have to take the L for bad when bad ones come out. Exactly. I mean,
That's fair.
they are those games. And it's not like they don't have an internal review process, right?
Yeah. Well, they've shown off very little things that have actually been made while they've been acquired by Microsoft. The only thing we've really seen that we know that has been there the whole time is Hi-Fi Rush. I don't think there's anything else.
I think Pentiment as well. I think Pentiment was probably the only other one, but like that's pretty much it. And again, that was the end of last year and beginning of
And
this year.
if that's the result of Microsoft stepping in and going, take some time, get yourself sorted, make what you want to make, then fine. You know, if that's the kind of stuff that they're directing, then that's good. But we need to get past this transition where there's, you know, things being made, you know, 8, 9 years, and so much of the industry changes. So you lose a lot. So.
Totally agree.
Man.
What do we got for our next story, Cameron?
So just something interesting that I came across before. Apparently, Activision Blizzard wanted to acquire Time Warner at one
Oof.
point.
I mean, okay. Yeah, it's not the strangest acquisition that would
Yeah,
make sense.
it's not.
So, yeah, so Bobby Kotick had a interview with Variety where he said that they were ready to swoop in and make a bid for Time Warner if AT&T had been unable to complete its 85.4 billion acquisition of the media and the entertainment company. Despite significant opposition from the US government due to antitrust concerns, the deal eventually went through in 2018, and Activision, yeah, essentially missed out. I don't know, it was just a quick news story that I was just like, oh, that would be very
There
interesting to see
was another
that.
thing today, earlier today actually, where they were saying that if the Microsoft Activision thing doesn't go through, that they've already got somebody lined up to purchase them
Yeah.
already. So, you
It wouldn't
know,
surprise
so
me, yeah.
So they're just shifting funds around and, you know,
Yeah,
taking their bags.
I mean, exactly, right? Like acquisitions are going to acquisition, right? Like Sony are looking at doing more acquisitions in the near future as well. They've basically come out and said that. So I'd be very curious to see kind of what happens there. But Warner Brothers and like Time Warner have actually started having some success in the gaming sphere at the moment. They were kind of a little bit on the ropes recently, with all the DC stuff happening and all that sort of shit, until AT&T acquired them. So their value's probably gone up a fair amount now, especially with like Hogwarts Legacy doing really well. I'm
What
curious to
do they got?
see.
Hogwarts Legacy, Mortal Kombat.
They're rebooting a lot of the DC stuff again, aren't they?
Yeah, again, yes, they have
Yeah.
done with Jason Gunn running it. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry,
I
Jason
mean,
Gunn or James Gunn?
sorry, Jason Gunn isn't.
It's
I was like,
James.
what? James Gunn. Sorry, Jason Gunn is Jason Gunn is a person here in New Zealand.
And
He's
James Gunn wanted to link everything together, like the games, the movies, the shows. So
It's
I mean, I can't think of it.
It's possible. Never it's going to happen because that's not how that shit works. Because games do not go to schedule.
I mean, in terms of anybody to do it, he's probably the number one person I would trust
sure,
to do it.
Sure, but I just think realistically, it's not possible. We can't get that many people together.
That's fair.
I mean, like if the MCU couldn't manage it, like in terms of like games coming out around the MCU, what, like we had like Iron Man 1 and 2, and that was pretty much it.
I was thinking today, like, when's the last time we got a new MCU show on Disney? It's been a while.
Yeah, well, they've slowed down a lot with that.
Moon Knight, yeah.
You know, they could run their movies and their TV shows for years and pump them out really, really quickly. And then 9 years down the track, just have their Marvel Avengers event in a video game at the end.
I'm suddenly having the Rise of Skywalker fucking Emperor thing in Fortnite that was the lead in for
them. Oh, dear.
I love Star Wars, but fuck me, do they make it hard to enjoy. And then what's this last story, Cameron?
Okay, so the last one was essentially a teaser from the Xbox team that has led many to believe that Fable could make an appearance at the Xbox Game Show on June 11th. With Summer Games Fest kicking off next week, the Xbox Game Show and Starfield Directs are just around the corner. While Microsoft is keeping his cards close to its chest, a new Twitter post from the official Xbox team has got many thinking that Playground Games Fable could be at the Xbox Game Showcase. Obviously, this is just speculation at this moment, but like kind of glitter and all that, you know, representing pixie dust.
It fucking better be. Like, where the fuck did that game go?
Yeah.
It was the worst kept secret in the entire industry, where it was like, hey, Playground Games are working on an RPG of some kind. And everyone's like, so Fable. And they're like, no, definitely not Fable. It is an existing IP. And it's an action RPG, but it's definitely not Fable. Okay. And then they were like, hey, guess what, guys? We're working on Fable. And we were all like, yeah, we know. We are very fucking aware.
It's been 3 years since Craig, yeah?
Three years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's Halo Infinite.
Craig, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because that's when the original Fable teaser would have been.
That was E3, but yeah.
Was it?
It was E3 trailer with the fairy and the thing grabbing it.
And that was like the frog.
The frog. Yeah. That was like 2020. Yeah. That was like 3 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, it was 3 years. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And that's insane that we haven't heard any, like, it took forever for it to get talked about and then it just went radio silent and we haven't heard anything for 3 years. So yeah, it better fucking be there.
I honestly think Fable's going to be probably mid 2024.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm thinking like this time next year is probably.
Like if they're showing off now, I don't think it's going to be a case of like, and it's out in September or anything like
that. I mean, like, look, if they do a holiday release for it, it's probably smart if they could get it because they need something for this holiday. But like,
what do we got? We got Forza. We got Forza.
That's it.
Starfield needs the space though. I think
yes, it does.
It needs the whole end of the year. So
yeah.
Starfield would be big. Motorsport will obviously has its demographic.
Mm.
What else we got? We got like third parties like Stalker and all that still in development.
Yeah, so when does that
come out? We're still like this year's felt really big with all the third party stuff pushed outside of stuff that we have already known was coming. I don't know what to expect at the showcase, in all honesty.
Yeah, neither, to be honest. I have no idea. I wonder if it's just going to be another indie showcase. Like, we talked about this last week, but like, I wonder if it's just going to be...
I don't know, because after Sony's indie showcase of not first-party titles and the backlash they got from that, I don't think they'll have some stuff to show. They'll definitely will.
Yeah, I agree, but I also feel like the positioning between the two brands are so different at this point because part of the reason that Sony got so much backlash is because they were like, hey, we're known for doing these really big like single player experiences that you absolutely love. And we have one of them for this year.
Yeah.
And like fair enough, right? It takes years to make those things, right? Whereas Microsoft is more like, hey, Game Pass is everything. We just put everything, we collect every fucking game we can find and we just throw it onto the system and you're going to fucking love it. And it's all coming out in the next 12 months or whatever. But I get what you mean, right? Like they will get lambasted if they don't have anything to show in the same way that Sony will. But I feel like the response will be maybe a little bit different from people who actually own Xboxes.
Or a handheld device.
Yep. Well, maybe they pull out like the Asus thing and promote that
the
there or
ROG
something.
or
Yeah,
the
or something like
Logitech
that.
thing or
Something like
something.
that would probably make sense. And Avowed, David points out, Avowed is another good one that's been missing in action since like 2019.
Yeah. I had a list the other day, and I quickly just want to go through it. Because we've got Hellblade as well, which
Hellblade 2. Yeah.
May get a release date.
I could see that coming out this year.
Yeah, I could see Hellblade being more likely than Fable, even with this teaser.
Yes, I agree. We've seen more about Hellblade 2, and that was announced earlier.
Yeah. If they get Hellblade out, they can make a push on that facial technology that they were doing. So if they get that out as soon as they can, then they can, you know, that'll be something tech-wise that they can push, because there's, you know, there's some girth there. So
State of Decay.
Yeah, we haven't anything about State of Decay 3. I mean, we know it's happening, but that's it.
The only thing I know about it is the one that Phil's most excited for. Like that he's spoken about before. He said that the team there's done some really neat stuff.
Well, it's also because they've already announced it, so like there's no surprise there.
I'm trying to find this solution.
I'm really interested to see what the In Exile are doing.
Yeah.
Because Wasteland 3 was a while ago, and I don't think they've done anything since.
Well, they're meant to be doing an RPG, right?
Allegedly. Well, apparently they're doing something kind of crazy, apparently. They're working on some crazy shit, so.
Where is this?
Yeah, Perfect Dark. Yeah, exactly. Like, again.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we should see something about that. I don't know. There's so many unknowns going into this, and I feel like us listing out the shit, we're just going to be disappointed, but.
All right. So Cleaver put up a prediction the other day that I kind of agree with. Starfield, Forza Motorsport 4, Age of Empires 4 console release date.
Yeah.
We all see them happening. Age of Mythology retold of PC release date.
It would make sense, yeah.
Really, 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 like, that's the one announcement that I'll be like, I don't care about anything else.
Sure.
Sold. Ara History Untold.
Okay.
That they originally said. Hellblade 2.
Yeah.
Halo Infinite Season 4. Sea of Thieves.
Yep.
Some kind of update.
Yeah, we'll see that. Yeah, of course.
Contraband potential.
Oh, yeah. We might maybe see something about that, right? Because all we fucking heard was Steely Dan, and that was pretty much it.
And then the game, like the games that we know nothing about, Compulsion, Double Fine, In Exile, World's Edge, or Stoic Kojima or Brass Line.
I don't think we'll see anything from Kojima at this stage.
I don't think so either, but...
Still too early, but yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, you could put Kojima in there for a minute, though.
Well, they did that last time.
That could happen.
Everybody just goes wild, though.
Yeah.
They did, though. They did that last time. They're like, hey, I'm working on something for Xbox. Bye.
You know what? They could do... Last year was that. This year will might be like a...
He's too busy doing Death Stranding 2.
Yeah, the Kojima stuff's more of a Keeley gig.
Yeah, exactly. So, agreed.
And then something from Avowed, Fable, State of Decay 3, Perfect Dark, or Everwild. Perfect Dark still, I don't know. It still feels like 2025, 2026 at the earliest.
Unfortunately, yeah.
It'd be weird if they did something like a remake for the original Perfect Dark or something. And
I can
you
see
know,
that.
Like,
I mean, like you know,
boosting
well, I mean,
those
you know,
before the new game comes out.
They own
know?
Rare,
so
like they own the IP. They could do a lot of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Question: where do we sit in the camp of whether we think the Marcus Fenix collection is real or not?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt it. Actually, no, actually, no. It probably does exist, but Coalition won't be the ones working on it. Obviously, they're working on Gear 6.
It would be really hard to make that a collection, I think. Yeah, because the games, I mean, are they going to have all the games, or are they going
to
have 1 to 3? And
one
then
three,
what about
probably.
Judgment? Had
I imagine it'll be
1 to 3
and Judgment.
Like,
they probably just won't. They'll just pretend Judgment didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. So, like,
well, one's already
a lot
been
of...
done because one's got the remaster. They'll just upscale it or
yeah.
you know, do something like that. Mm. Realistically, you're doing 2, 3 and Judgment.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it'd be good if there was just like a side story from one of the other characters from the Tactics game, you know?
Yeah, I could see
do
that,
something
yeah.
different. So,
who worked in the Tactics game? Can you remember?
Did Coalition not work on it? I thought they did something with it.
I wasn't. It just seems like the kind of game that another studio would.
It was in partnership with like 2 or 3 different studios. I'm pretty sure. It was it. Did Relic have something to do with that?
Splash Damage. Splash Damage and Coalition did it together.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Like Gears Pop.
Which are like, you know, like splash damage would probably be the obvious ones to help work on Phoenix Collection, because they helped with Master Chief Collection. So, and they are basically a support studio at this stage, because Brink didn't do very well for them years ago. So anyway, yeah, I feel like I'm just pissing into the wind, because I just have like, I have no idea. Like I have no like real, like I, there's nothing I can be like, definitely going to show this, definitely not going to show that. Because I just feel like every last couple of years, of just everything's been thrown out the window. And with how badly Redfall is done and how much they're going to be banking on Starfield, and with Starfield having its own section,
yeah,
like we just ignore that, because that's obviously going to be there. They've got a whole thing
for it.
What else are they going to show there, and what can they show? Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be checking in with everybody, so...
Yeah, I'm very interested. I'm taking Nikki to this band fest, and I've got two friends coming as well, so...
Nice.
I'm going to make a night out of it. I'm going to be dog-tired for the public holiday on the Monday.
Fair.
Anyway. Any other things for the week? That's pretty much news.
Pretty much it for news, I think. I guess we'll get into our leaderboard. So we've got Mad Eye Pad Eye at 8,355. We've got Mephisto for the win at 9,985. I should get you to reach out to him, actually, Cameron. Be good to have him back on the show.
Yeah.
And then Kruger at Kruger. This can't possibly be right. At 141,330.
Somebody's put some Red Bull in his cornflakes.
That's fucking insane. Kruger, you need to calm down. You can tell G-Task is on, eh?
Yeah.
As for completions, we had some good ones this year. This week, Perk finished Fallen Order, Somerville, and Ravenlock. David finished up Planet of Lana, Fall Guys. I'm going to play Planet of Lana soon, I think. Anubis finished up Watch Dogs. Rapture finished up both versions of Metal Hellsinger and Minecraft Dungeons. Jake finished up Floppy Knights. Bulbasaur finished up Episode 1 Racer. Aftos finished up Hot Wheels Unleashed. He said he enjoyed the first 15 hours and then hated the rest of it.
It's really grindy towards the end. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it then.
And they then, just announced two as well.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. And then the Moonzom finished up Adios and Lawn Mowing Simulator. So good job, guys. Some good ones in there.
Man, I want to get Watch Dogs done one day, but it's a just goddamn song-sneak achievement. Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I can't get the last song.
I know. Well, I mean, you can just restart and just wander around for a bit. You know, like it sucks, but it's not that difficult. Word Challenge. If you don't know what the Word Challenge is, on Discord, I have set up a channel called Word Challenge where you can go in and guess the title of a game. And if you guess the right game, our bot shows a GIF. And if you get the GIF right, you win $20 New Zealand. Simple as that. We've had some winners, but hang on, I need to sneeze. Come on.
Yeah, sneeze. I feel like every time you say, I need to sneeze, it just immediately just like, no.
It doesn't happen exactly. I really should just say it more often. Anyway. So we do have, so we have a new, it's a new month, so we have a new game. I have put a new game in there. It is not The Fucking Witness. And if you guess The Witness, you get the penalty GIF. So don't guess The Witness. But the clue is, incredibly unhelpful, this game doesn't have a walkthrough on TA. So make of that what you will. Start making your lists. There's probably a couple of thousand games in there that they don't have walkthroughs on TA. So good luck. Start your guesses. You get one guess per hour. I mean, someone's probably going to get it in the first 5 minutes and ruin my whole fucking month. but yeah, good luck to you. We'll have another clue next week. And then, as always, like I said, discord.io/hallofgamers is the place to come hang out with us in our community. So we've got that channel there. We have a questions channel for our community questions. We have a Patreon channel. We've got a podcast channel. We've got all kinds of shit on there. So come hang out with us, ask questions, say hi. And a huge thank you to our patrons, patrons.com/hallofgamers, for the people who help support the show. We could not do it without them. So a huge thanks to Lee Howard, Mikhail KV, Natolinator, Firehawk, Mad Lefty, Admiral Awesome, Keo, Happy Moogles, Kung Fu Skills, Hack and Pwn, Cavalier 07, Old Mate Clown, Mark B, and McLovin Legend. Thank you very much. We could not afford to do the show without you guys. And if you want to watch the show live, like some of our community members here, like David and the Moonzom and Cobra and I guess Keo's here as well.
a double whammy over here. All the places.
Exactly.
So,
like I said at the top of the show, Xbox Hall of Gamers on Twitch is the place to find us. Come say hi when we're live. And we also post when we're live in the Discord as well, so you won't miss out. And if you want to get in contact with us in other ways, hallofgamerspodcast@gmail.com or @hallofgamerspod on Twitter. Leave us a review. Word of mouth is always huge for us. Tell your friends. All right. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Cameron, if you want to be found, what are the details?
Shadowless Edge underscore on Twitch or Shadowless Edge pretty much everywhere else. I next weekend will be doing one game involved future game show, which is going to be free in my time. Probably going to jump in Discord and watch some game showcases. I know Wholesome Games will be 2 a.m. my time. So now beforehand, there will also be obviously we have the Xbox showcase next week and all that. But yeah, if you want to jump on while I'm on, going to be doing my social media stuff at 3 a.m. in the morning. Come watch some games with me. It'll be fun.
Hell yeah. Kia, what about you?
Cool. Well, I'm Kia Live at Home on Twitter and on Twitch. And you can watch my VODs from my streaming on HDFG Play on YouTube as well. So pretty straightforward.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm Neo Master on everything, True Achievements, Xbox, and Discord. Nice and easy if you want to get in contact with me. But that's going to bring us to the end of episode 81. We will catch you guys next week. See you later.